The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So now that it's been returned, there's a part of me that's like, well, it's funny, we're joking about it on the radio, but no harm, no foul.
For the last few months, someone has been stealing equipment from the club. Two nights ago, they pulled a big one. They took a pitching machine, a batting cage, the infield top, and all of Mr. Steinbrenner's vitamins.
Because wouldn't you like, hey, my bad?
Maybe they are going to my bad. Maybe they just haven't my badded yet.
It looks like they knew they did something wrong.
We have reason to believe it's an inside job. So, if anybody here knows anything about it, I recommend strongly that you come forward.
I guess I'm hopeful that there was a face-to-face planned to say, oopsie poopsie.
You know, George, I've been your biggest supporter around here, and that's why I was so disappointed to hear that you've been pilfering the equipment.
George would never do anything like that.
No, why would I? I own it.
Right.
So what are you saying?
Why would George steal from the Yankees?
He wouldn't.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sitting count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running around. She wants
no to game
ride.
Today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, which means that Monday was no Chewy Day on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, which means Tuesday was no Jen, Gabe on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and today is no Gabe Day on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So we are just
na-na-na-na-na, connect the dots. Remember that show?
Wait, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes! He nailed it. Shut up, Josh. Sorry, that was aggressive.
What the heck?
I know, but
he didn't even say
he anything. Was at me
was
yesterday. No, yesterday.
Oh. Yeah, I trolled him on the Power Rankings.
Well, I heard. And your first line was, where are the Jaguars, Doug Peterson?
Uh-huh.
And then you said,
Atlanta. Which I said, don't sleep, because they have one win.
Don't sleep.
They are not.
Don't sleep on Minnesota.
No one is sleeping on Minnesota. You told me they were third in the power rankings.
I know, but before the season started, everyone was sleeping on them.
Well, wait a minute. Before the season started, depending on how far you want to go back, we thought that J.J. McCarthy, rookie quarterback, was going to be the starter. And with all due respect to Jaden Daniels, who kind of is lighting the world on fire for the Commanders, rookie quarterbacks, other than C.J. Stroud last year, tend to struggle. That's what it was mostly based on, right? It was mostly based on, hey, this is a transition year for that franchise. You know, they're going to be figuring things out, learning on the go. That's not the case right now. They're a 3-0 team.
This is maybe the weirdest start in years.
For the division or for
the Vikings? For the entire NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
Wouldn't you say?
1,000,000%. Because everything is bizarro world. Up is down, black is white, in is out. And the Commanders the other night, as I know you guys discussed, beat the Bengals.
Yeah.
I, as you know, did not have that on my bingo or betting slip.
No, I mean, there's about six of it. There's the Bengals, there's the Jaguars as losers. Who else is? I mean, San Fran is what, 1-2?
Yeah,
I believe that's bizarro. Mm-hmm. Seattle? No one had Seattle.
Well, I can actually excuse the San Fran thing away a little bit just because they were the walking wounded last week.
Yeah. Who's another weirdo team? Cleveland? I mean, everyone had Cleveland in their top 10.
Ugh.
Preseason?
They got a problem with their quarterback.
Big problem. Of course, they won the week that I said. That they wouldn't win.
I'm a little tired of Mike McDaniels, the offensive guru.
Whoa, quarterback.
He was playing Tim Freakin'
We're playing
Boyle.
With Malik Willis.
Okay, but don't. So you're saying that's an interesting thought. So you're saying that
LaFleur is better than McDaniels. So call him LaFleur, the offensive wizard, not Mike McDaniel.
Hey,
is that fair?
Yeah, Not going to have to do much campaigning here for that.
No.
Fine by me. But I think that is interesting because we did give Matt LaFleur his flowers, which, by the way, LaFleur, does that mean flowers? I heard people saying that this week.
I didn't look it up. I'll look it up.
I'm not fluent in French. I actually know zero.
Prenez la clé.
What does that mean?
Hand me the chalk. That's the only thing I remember from French class.
Of all the things.
Fleur is flower in French.
Yeah, so hand him his LaFleurs is what I heard people saying this week. Tim Boyle, though, is Tim Boyle better than Malik Willis?
I would say yes.
Based on what?
Playing quarterback. I mean, this is the headline. I just read it, and it kind of gave me a little chuckle. Let me find it.
How'd you lose it?
I just read it.
I just had it.
Your computer only stays on the ESPN homepage.
Yeah, very excellent. Great point by you, Josh.
Hold on. Oh, here it is. It's from the Bleacher Report. GM Packers head coach has done a great job with Malik Willis, who I don't think can play football.
Yes, we did discuss that. Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of wrong.
Wait, you think he can play football?
I think he can play a brand of football.
Oh, sure.
And I was telling these guys yesterday, I thought installing the read option with him was smart as ever.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what, so he can play a brand of football.
He can play a brand of football.
And Matt LaFleur figured out what that brand was, and they schemed him up so that they could be successful.
That's
now,
a great offensive mind.
Now, are you in the camp of Jordan Love will be back this weekend under center? Do you believe Jordan Love will be back?
Yes. I mean, if he's taking team reps, which they said yesterday, means they're ramping him up, I believe, to play this week. Now, if he doesn't, Jordan is subservient to his agent, which he should not be.
Wait, what? He should not be subservient to
his agent?
Yes. Explain to me what you're thinking.
Because the agent doesn't know his body.
Mm.
And the agent really doesn't know the temperature of Wisconsin. Mm. You know, he can be a voice. He can be a voice. He can give his opinion, but ultimately it's up to the player to say, no, I'm good. At 95%, I should be playing football.
When you say temperature of Wisconsin, do you mean the literal temperature or how fans might feel?
How fans might feel. Gotcha.
Yeah, eek.
Because if he doesn't play this week after practicing the last 2 weeks, people are going to start to get a little restless. Based upon the fact that you had a guy who was here for years that has all-time consecutive starts and the next guy who played through a lot of injuries.
Okay. Want to dig into that a little bit here because I'm not saying that you're wrong. I think you are right in your thought process. I, however, think Jordan would be wrong in his thought process if he subscribed to that at all. If his agent subscribed to that at all. Chewy, you know the temperature of the fans here, having been a player. You also are somebody who notoriously wanted to be on the field. You talked about the accountability to your teammates and wanted to be out there.
Yeah.
I think that that has evolved. I think that that has changed. I think we know more about healing and what bodies, you know, like, again, we always talk about how you guys were, you know, crushing burgers and beers.
Sure.
And like, what do you mean body is a temple? What do you mean this isn't the optimum nutrition for playing football at an elite level? So I feel like we know more in that space. But I don't see Jordan as a guy who is shying away from playing. I think he feels like if he's close to 100% or 100%, he'll go out there. But I also feel like it was a legit injury, as Matt LaFleur told us, as Matt LaFleur reminded us earlier this week. This was a legit injury. This wasn't some like, you have mentioned before, Chu, players who were unhappy with their contract, who then decided they would sit out games as sort of a even Steven, how to balance the scales, if you will. That's not what this was, right?
No, it's not. But I still think, and I'll go to my grave, believing that part of the contract that you sign and the money you're paid is to play, not injured, but maybe a little hurt. I think 95 is a fair gauge, for a gauge. You know, I don't think guys haven't done this. I don't think you have to wait till you're 100% because as the season goes along, you're not 100%. You're not. Week 13, you're not. You know, you're 100% the first day of training camp. And then it chips away because your body gets beat up.
But if you get injured in week one, at the end of week one, that's not something you're building into that schedule. That's not something you're building into the plan. You just mentioned week 13. You recognize that your body's a little broken down. There's wear and tear, you know, that's natural for the game.
Yes.
In week one, if you suffer an injury, how do you want to? How would you have handled that? Because you want to be healthy at the end of the year, right? You got to make that run. Sure. You got to make that surge.
But the problem with that, Jen, is I do not want this sport to morph into the NBA. I don't. And I see it trending that way, where the regular season has been devalued. Okay? It's just, I don't want that. And I don't think these guys that wait till they're 100% back, I could never do it. I don't like it. I see the game trending that way, where the regular season doesn't matter. All it is get to the playoffs, and I don't like it.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur, who talked about Jordan Love's availability and what he will be doing this week in advance of the game against the Vikings.
Well, we'll see. I mean, again, I think anybody that saw what happened to him, I mean, that's a legitimate injury. So, you know, he's working through it. He's doing everything in his power. He wants to be out there, and you know, we want him out there.
I mean, it'll be what, 4 weeks on Friday, right?
Yes,
Joshy.
Three, right?
Three weeks.
Yep.
And it was a 2-4, 1-1 second degree strain.
Sprain, right? Was it a sprain?
I believe it was sprain.
But it was it 2-4 or 3-6?
Depended on who you heard.
Yeah, right? I heard anywhere from 2-6, basically, to give ourselves the most space.
See, in my day, it was 2-4. And guys most times would come out on the front end of that, you know? So, and I've had MCL sprains, you know? It's just,
but I mean, what is it like? What is an MCL
it's just
sprain like?
Pain, you know? But after 3 weeks, I mean, the pain is pretty much diminished.
Okay, but let's talk about this for a minute. Let's talk about the timing of it, right? Because we know that this whole offseason conversation was, when is Jordan Love going to get paid? When is Jordan Love going to become one of the highest paid players in the sport? And of course, that did happen. So is there any part of that, too, him getting the big deal, him wanting to go out there and be as good as he can be, you know, in top shape? If he was dealing with an injury, it would limit his ability to play well and ergo win games. Is there any part of you that then says the money and the contract put pressure on him to not go out there at less than 100%?
Well, let me ask you this. Why doesn't the agent want him to play? Because he has a vested interest. I just think 95%, and I've played at 85%, probably when I shouldn't have played. But there's always that, you know, old school players are like, me at 85% is better than the next guy at 100%, and I'm all about winning games here.
How do you figure out that scale? How do you figure out, oh, this is 85%? Oh, this
you
is
know your 90. Body. I mean, you know, yeah.
But don't you need it relative to something else? Like, you get one injury, you get that first one.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way of knowing where you are on your individual scale, right? Am I at 75%? Am I at 95%? You almost need something to compare it to so you can put it on the scale, right?
Somewhere. Well, you know what 100 is.
100%, yes,
I get
that.
You know what 100 is.
But like, even if you're not feeling well, right? Like, you didn't come in on Monday. You were probably, you give me a percentage. I don't want to guess.
A Monday without being hurt?
This past Monday.
Oh, this Monday? anyone was better than me at 70%. Would be my guess.
So you were 70% on Monday. The only way you figure out that you were 70% this past Monday is because you've had an 80% day or a 60% day or a 50% day, right?
Well, the best I am on Mondays is 80.
Always.
Yes.
89, actually.
Yeah.
I just think
there's got to be some guilt. No? You don't think there has to be guilt?
Not if you're legitimately hurt. If you're faking it, yeah.
No, he's not faking it, but at what percentage? I would say, what percentage are you coming back at? 100%? I can't play with guys like that. That's old school thinking, but I'm sorry. I can't play with
you. You don't have to apologize for it at all. I think this is a fantastic perspective into why so many guys played through injuries. I just wonder if we have evolved to a point where agents and players are saying it's not worth it. Let's use this as an example here on the radio show, okay? Let's use our voice. My voice today is 100%. I got 100% of my voice, right? It's a radio show. We talk for a living. 100% is great. Are there days I come in where my voice is 90%? Sure have. Are there days I've come in where my voice is 85%? Yes. But when you start to get to 70, 65, creeping towards 50, that's a diminishing return, right?
Yeah.
And I can't help but wonder if Jordan and his agent were thinking, we're at the diminishing return point.
This is why it's so difficult for me. Okay. And I don't really want to talk about this. And this is all I'm going to say about it. We had a guy diagnosed with a disease yesterday that if you asked him straight up, he would probably say, I wouldn't change a thing.
Mm.
That's how we were built. That's how we were built. I don't know if it's a product of the way the game was played back then, but you can't remove that from me. You can't get it out of a player. It's just there. And then to see this is one of the reasons I don't like football today.
Mm.
I just don't, you know? It's just, I don't know what it is. And I'd say the same thing because I have my own issues. You guys know I have issues. But I don't think, because you think long and hard and you're like, I don't think I'd change a damn thing. And it's not the field. It's not the field. It's how close you are to guys and the bonding and all that. I don't think you can ever remove that out of old school players, you know? So that's maybe why my opinion is a little skewed today, but it's...
We will find out and get a little bit closer this week to what Jordan is doing with the team and if he will, in fact, be out there again. We have Adam Schefter coming up a little later in the show, and he has always said that he was sort of circling the Minnesota Vikings game as when Jordan Love would be back, but it has been a very interesting road for the Packers to be without their starting quarterback since the second week of the season to be able to tread water. And now my question to you guys is... Would this be a statement win? If the Packers win on Sunday over the Vikings, man, if you would have told me 5 weeks ago we'd be talking about, oh, beating the Vikings could be a statement win for the franchise, I would have said, what are you, high? What are you, have a fever? Can we get you some zinc? Can we get you some vitamin C? That's crazy talk. But here we are. You guys told me Vikings third in the power rankings yesterday. How big of a win would it be for Green Bay to knock off the top team in the division this early in the season? We'll get into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse finally than what ended up happening.
Finally we got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
According to Vivid Seats, the Packers-Vikings game is the hottest NFL ticket of Week 4 with an average ticket price of $431. The best deal on a seat on the secondary market, apparently, is $200 for a spot to see the Packers host the Vikings this weekend. Part of that is because the Vikings obviously are undefeated. Part of it is because the Packers are always a great draw. There is some thought that Jordan Love will be back on the field, which makes it even more intriguing. Also throw in the Aaron Jones element of it, playing his former team who didn't want to pay him, went to a division rival who did pay him. And these are the top two teams in the division right now. Chewy, you had mentioned how you thought maybe the Bears might be one, but now they are not even in your rearview mirror.
No.
A lot of car analogies from you, by the way, right? The driving, the rearview mirror, the side view, the 25.
Very relatable.
45, yes.
I think people love their cars. but looking at a couple teams, I don't think Minnesota, I don't know. I can't buy them right now. They're playing well. And they beat two good teams in San Francisco and Houston. But is it sustainable? Is Darnold sustainable? I don't think so. It's much like the Steelers. You think the Steelers are sustainable at 3-0 with Justin Fields?
What do you mean by sustainable?
Like,
do I think they're going to run the tables Dolphins?
I don't see him going 13-4. I don't see him even going 11-5.
But don't you think a hot start like this helps?
It does, but there's a lot of teams that start out 6-0 and then lose 6 in a row. And
are there 6-0, 6-0?
I would imagine 6-0, not a lot, but there are a lot of teams that, I mean,
start out hot and then fade.
But the Eagles are famously done it
last year. Yes.
The Vikings have also famously been, like, in terms of wins, one of the best, and then everyone predicted them to lose. Remember that playoff series? It was against the Giants and Daniel Jones.
But famously, Chew, you and your brethren, don't you guys often break the season into quarters? I know it's not as clean as it was when we were playing 16 games, but
extra game.
Thank you, Josh. Yes. Really jams things up from a fraction standpoint. What I was trying to say though is they're gonna win the quarter. I mean, 3-0.
Yeah.
You go 3-1, you still win the quarter. Isn't that some metric that feels like you're trending in the right direction? Or are you saying it doesn't mean anything?
Well, we break it up because of the monotony of it all. You know, it's just instead of saying, all right, 17 games run week four, you chop it up and, you know, players do it and coaches do it. We're realistic. I mean, everyone at the start of the season, all 32 teams think they have a shot at the Super Bowl, which they don't. Now, behind closed doors, you're like, you know, you're always looking for that progression. But no, I don't think it's sustainable. Just like the Packers are going to lose two in a row at some point in the world's going to be imploding. You know, it's going to happen. It happened to us our Super Bowl year where we lost two in a row. We're on the verge of losing three in a row to a horrible team, and then we pulled ourselves out of it, and you reboot. But every good team is going to go through adversity through the season.
If you were to look at the schedule right now for the Green Bay Packers, where would you guess that two-game losing streak, which you are saying happens, would come? They've got the 49ers on the schedule, but that's sandwiched by the Bears and the Dolphins. You're out on the Dolphins. We just talked about Tim Boyle, the laser show, in the first segment of the program.
I mean, you look at the start of it, because we thought the start of it would be the Rams, because the Rams' preseason ranking was pretty good, but I don't know. Josh, do you know how long in Kupp and Puka are out for?
We don't.
We don't?
They haven't put Cooper Kupp on the IR, but there's some speculation that that's simply because they only have so many designated to return spots.
But even so, that game, and this is what it comes down to, is sandwiched by the Vikings and the Cardinals.
And the Cardinals, they're dangerous.
They can score.
They can score. They look a lot better. That now, the fact that that's at home is a lot better. Jacksonville, that doesn't look as dangerous anymore.
Correct.
Chicago, I don't know how you feel about that. I mean, Miami, is Tua going to be back?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, for whatever reason, this two game in a row thing might be tough the way this. I mean, maybe it's the Lions Seahawks. Seahawks are another undefeated team in the league. Maybe that's your stretch. But also, do the Seahawks come back down to earth by December 15th?
I think the stretch of San Francisco, Miami, Detroit. I mean, that could be a lose two out of three there.
Okay. So maybe not back-to-back, but two out of three.
You think Seattle's sustainable? I mean, they're 3-0. That's at Seattle, which makes it a lot tougher.
Literally just said that.
Yeah. Oh, you did? I'm sorry.
The degree of injuries.
You were looking at the schedule.
The degree of injuries make it really hard to predict because, I mean, the 49ers are decimated right now.
Right.
And it seems like the top players across the league, many of the fantasy football players out there are looking around going, what the hell's going on out here? Because it's just so hard to predict which, like, would we have predicted Jordan Love missing two games in the season? No, of course not.
Right, but go take it one step further. Would we have predicted the Packers going 2-0 in absence with the absence of Jordan Love?
Also, so it's like there's so many layers to this. Like, could Tim Boyle win a couple games with the Dolphins? I mean, I guess. They've got a ton of talent out there.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to look at last year. Didn't the Bears turn it on at the end of the year? They kind of stunk in the beginning.
Correct.
So it's so hard to predict these days. I mean, I would have never thought the Rams, without their two best receivers, would wind up beating San Fran, even though they're beat up. So you just don't know. And the injury bug hasn't hit. I mean, outside of Jordan, hasn't really hit Green Bay yet.
There's really no preferred starters missing time.
Yeah.
other than obviously that big one.
Feels like a pretty glaring one though, gang. Like I would take two or three other guys.
The Niners don't have three of their best offensive players right now, and I mean I don't care how good Kyle Shanahan is. There is a breaking point with all this stuff and injuries.
Okay, we got to take a break because we got to get to Adam Schefter. What I was trying to get to is based on the fact that the Vikings are 3-0 and the Packers are 2-1. Is this a could this be a statement win for the Packers if they win, or is it too early in the season to have a statement win? This is going to go back to whatever your interpretation of statement win is, but theoretically, a victory on Sunday over the Vikings puts the Packers in the catbird seat in the division. Yes, they lost that game to the Eagles week one, but to knock off the Vikings this early, I feel like could be a statement win, but I am open to suggestions by our loyal listeners. 800-990-3776. We got to get to Adam Schefter. We will certainly ask him what he is hearing about Jordan Love's availability right after this. But if you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music. You'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Initially, I was told from the jump, 3 to 4 weeks. I was told initially that the games that were most likely for him to come back were either the Vikings in week 4 or the Rams in week 5.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
All right. Time to talk to Adam Schefter about a little bit of NFL news. Good morning, Adam. How are you today? Adam.
He was just...
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Adam.
Hi, Adam. Yeah. You got me?
Yes, we got you. Whoo, technology. What is the latest you are hearing about Jordan Love's availability against the Vikings this weekend?
Oh, look, I think everybody who watched him warm up on Sunday in Tennessee would have to think that at the very least, he has a realistic chance to start this week. I think, frankly, it would be a surprise if he didn't start against the Vikings, but they have to go through the week. They have to see how he fares. They have to see how his knee responds. They have to see how he looks. All those things are true. But again, judging on how he looked and how he performed, I'd be surprised if he didn't start on Sunday against Minnesota.
Adam, were you surprised these past 2 weeks how good Malik Willis has looked? Or do you chalk that up, or you chalk that up to LaFleur, just knowing his skill set and in developing a game plan for that skill set?
Both Chewy. You know, here's the deal. When Malik Willis was coming out, I remember thinking he was going to be a first round draft pick, and I think he wound up going in round 4, I believe, is where he went. And you know, again, it takes different guys different amounts of time to develop. Like, he has had talent. He can be a good quarterback. And obviously the guy handles himself in a very professional way. People around the guy are really impressed with him. So you take the attributes that he has and you marry it with Matt LaFleur and his offense, and this is what you have a chance to get. And it turned out to be the best case scenario for Green Bay. Like, if you could say Jordan Love is going to miss 2 games and Malik Willis is going to step in and win both them when the team started 0-1, I mean, that is huge that guy could get that done. And so, yes, Matt LaFleur deserves credit. Malik Willis deserves credit. They both deserve credit for getting this team to where it is today and being in a position to have this huge game against Minnesota on Sunday with Jordan Love back in the lineup.
Adam, we are playing the Vikings this weekend. Not me. I will not be on the field. I know that's a shocking revelation to you, but the Packers will be playing the Vikings this weekend. And of course, all eyes will be on Sam Darnold. I guess he got good news about his knee, so he's not expected to miss any time. Bill Belichick said something very interesting about Sam Darnold. He said that the entire league liked him except for the Jets, which was unfortunate since that's the team he was on. What do you attribute this ascension, or maybe it's always been there. Maybe it's similar to the Malik Willis. He just needed a good fit, needed somebody who believed in him. What do you attribute his ascension and his success this season to?
Look, so much of what happens with these quarterbacks is where they play and who they're surrounded by and the coaches they're with. So if you took quarterback A with a lot of potential and put him into an offense with a good offensive line, with Aaron Jones as your running back, with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and Jalen Naylor as your wide receivers, and with Kevin O'Connell as your head coach, you're going to have a chance to succeed. And now, if you take a guy who's been through it a little bit and gotten some NFL experience and knows what it's like to be a pro, I think the chances go up. And so, look, when Sam Darnold left Carolina, first of all, there was some thought in New York when Sam Darnold was in New York that the Jets would have been better off trading the second overall pick in that quarterback draft class that now looks like, whoa, holy cow. That draft class right now, which at that time was trumpeted, is now being questioned, where you had Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Trey Lance 3, Mac Jones and Justin Fields also went in round 1. But there was some thought that the Jets should keep Sam Darnold, not take Zach Wilson, use that pick on somebody like Ja'Marr Chase or Penei Sewell, and trade the number 2 pick for the biggest package. Exactly. So if that had happened, I wonder if Sam Darnold would have been on this trajectory or the Jets organization would have sunk him. And then there was talk in Carolina that maybe he would be the guy, but I think they turned it over to Baker Mayfield while he was there at one point in time. And then he went to San Francisco, and I can tell you this, the 49ers really were impressed with the guy and really believed in the guy, but they had Brock Purdy. So he wasn't going to get a chance to play unless he was needed, and he wasn't needed, but he got to spend a year around some great coaches and a great system where he got to learn. And now he gets to pick his home, and once Kirk Cousins leaves, there's an opening in Minnesota, and they give him the opportunity on a one-year deal. And so it really was a question of opportunity in the right spot at the right time, and all those married up. And I'm not trying to take away from what Sam Darnold has done, because I've always thought Sam Darnold is a good quarterback, truly. But I think there probably are, like, if you put Andy Dalton in Minnesota right now, would he be playing like Sam Darnold? I would say, yeah. If you put Baker Mayfield when he was a free agent in Minnesota with this, would he have done this? I think he would have. So again, it just points to, like, Malik Willis with, yeah, like you said, you know, good Packers team, good receivers, good coaching. It's a nice spot for a quarterback. There are certain places that aren't nice spots for quarterbacks. There are certain places that are more quarterback friendly. Minnesota is one. And it has allowed Sam Darnold to fulfill his potential.
How embarrassing was that for Tennessee, though, Adam? That a guy they cast off that thought they couldn't play goes in and looks better than your starting quarterback there. I mean, were they embarrassed, you think? I certainly would have been.
Well, it's not a great look. They're trying to develop Will Levis. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, I was trying to make a fancy football trade with the Hasselbeck brothers, and I offered them Calvin Ridley. And they're like, hey, this city right now is obsessed. It's like on fire with Titans quarterback chatter. You know, they both live there. I just found that to be interesting that there's so much conversation there that, well, I guess it should be everywhere, right? Like every city's focused on its quarterback, but they pointed out how hysterical the city is right now about its quarterback situation. And I'm sure it didn't help that they lost to one of the quarterbacks that they traded away.
Going to need the details of that proposed trade, Adam.
I tried to trade for David Montgomery.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Because, familiar with him.
Well, you know, when the year started, I openly said that I didn't feel great about the 49ers, like Christian McCaffrey. I love him as a player. I've known him since he's a little boy. I know his family 30 years. He is unbelievable. But I just felt like he had been healthy so long. I wasn't feeling it. And I had the number one overall pick. And I still stood there and took Christian McCaffrey. So the other day, I offered Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason and Isaac Garrido, the entire 49ers backfield, to Teddy Bruschi for Jahmyr Gibbs. But then I was only going to do it if I could get David Montgomery, because I want to have a full backfield locked in. And so I offered Jaden Daniels to the Hasselbacks, and they didn't want to do that.
Well, hold on. Now, do you want to keep Jaden Daniels, or do you have a better option at quarterback? Because he is looking like he's going to be the darling of the league this year. I know it's early, but man, what he did the other night to the Bengals was very impressive.
That's why I offered him for David Montgomery.
Oh, you're saying sell high.
Yeah.
Exactly. In another league, I just traded Jaden Daniels last night. So, like, I had him in both leagues, and I think he's going to be really good. He's going to have a great year, but, yeah, I don't know that his value is ever going to be much higher. I could be totally wrong. Like, he could do this all year long, and I'm going to regret saying this.
What's happening at your house right now? You got Amazon showing up at the door?
Hold on one second.
He literally just left. He's going to go check and see why the pups are making so much noise.
I got five dogs here, right? I got five dogs.
What?
You didn't know that? We have five dogs.
I had no idea you had five. Okay.
I can tell everybody. I wanted one. My wife wanted five. We compromised and got five. Yeah.
Sounds very familiar. Adam, how serious is McCaffrey's injury? I heard he's going over to Germany to get a second opinion. Yeah. It's that bad?
Well, that's the whole thing. I have not felt great about this all along. And look, here's the deal. Like, just do the logic in your mind. He didn't participate in training camp. They gave him up basically 5-6 weeks. Came back the week of the opener, or right before then, and had what he described as his worst practice of all. Like, he felt more pain and discomfort after he had taken that time off. So if somebody takes all that time off, comes back, and feels worse, what does that tell you?
There's a problem.
That's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a problem. Which brings us to Germany, because he is so fanatical about taking care of himself and making sure he gets the best treatment and doing whatever he can to be on the football field because it's that important to him and he's that dedicated and committed. All admirable things. But it's a guy that, you know, again, wants to do anything to get back out there. So he's going to go over there. You know, I'm sure my understanding is, you know, you get some plasma injections or whatever the heck it is that they do there. I'm not smart enough, medically knowledgeable enough to know. And you see if it starts responding and feeling better. But I wasn't feeling it all year, and I'm so mad at myself because it was in my gut, and I still didn't listen to it. I hope he's okay for his sake.
Shefty, something surrounding the league that made me real angry yesterday was the news about Dan Campbell's family being forced to move because a student at his daughter's high school put their address online and they started getting harassed. What? To say nothing of how inappropriate that is, and I think we all know that. Is this something you've heard of before where coaches feel like they are not safe in their current environment, or because people are fanatical and people act out or are irrational after teams underperform, they have to up and move? I can't believe we're still doing this in 2024.
Well, have I ever heard specifically of that? No, Jen. But are people aware of where certain people in their community live? Yes. Do you think people in Green Bay know where Matt LaFleur lives or Jordan? Yes, I guarantee they do.
Of course, but there's a certain level of, like, understanding, right? Like, if you are privy to that information, you don't put them in a compromising position by sharing it publicly with people who cannot be responsible with said information.
By the way, I remember one point in time, I believe it was the Shanahans. I remember when I was a Denver newspaper reporter and I had put in an article. You learn this, and I felt bad about it. Like, I put in an article, oh yeah, the Shanahans are, you know, they're out of town. You know, they're in Mexico while this is unfolding, and they came home and their house had been burglarized. And, you know, when you have a job in the public eye, You'd like to think that people are going to be understanding of that, but in the world we're living in, there are a lot of disappointing things. And this is another example. And that's a high school student, apparently, or right, a high school student we're talking. So high school students sometimes don't think things through. And clearly this is a immature, irresponsible, inexperienced decision. And then you'd like to think that people wouldn't react to it, but that's probably asking too much in today's society. And because people get all emotional about everything. And so there are different variations of this, right? It used to be, again, I was talking to some people over the weekend about John Elway, and it became a huge thing in Denver, the Halloween candy he was giving out every year at his house. Now, right. So, and that became a news story in Denver back in the day, you know, what he was giving out and was it big enough, could you be John Elway and give out appropriate Halloween, whatever that is. Like, so and what is that? You know, what is that? You know, people showing up at his house for trick or treating and then like reporting on what he's giving out and not be like that. Come on. But this is the world we live in. And so honestly, I think you have to always be prepared for these types of things. And people have to be more guarded and private. And I think they are. I think they are. And, you know, this is why they are. Because sometimes people do dumb things, like go to a coach's house and issue death threats after a playoff loss. Like, what are we doing? You know, get a grip. But that's unfortunately the world we live in.
Yeah, I guess it's a hazard of the gig. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Guys, enjoy your day. We'll talk next Wednesday. Thank you for having me, and enjoy week four.
Joshy, who presents Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy?
The Island Resort and Casino. It is a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed, but like,
I'm with Gabe here, yeah. I think more confident in my left hand here just cupping right now other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
Yeah, I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm not saying it was your fault, although you could have done more. Oh, you're so naive, yes, so...
Joshy, you know I don't really drink soda, right?
Yeah, I've seen that.
I have the occasional Diet Coke with a lime. That's my go-to if I want to enjoy a carbonated bevy. But did you tell me that there's a new beverage on the market?
Yeah, one that kind of... usually these things don't get me very excited, but 7-Ups is going to be bringing a holiday limited edition Shirley Temple drink.
A canned
Shirley Temple.
They need to change the name of that. No one knows who the hell Shirley Temple is.
Do you need to know who Shirley Temple is to appreciate the beverage?
Well, we know what a John Daly is.
Are you telling me you wouldn't enjoy a John Daly if you didn't know who John Daly is? Arnold Palmer. There's a whole generation of people that don't know who Arnold Palmer is, but they enjoy a little iced tea and lemonade, right?
What could we play Shirley Temple with? It's got to be a kid. It's got to be a girl.
Like Dakota Fanning? Does it need to be an actor? Like a young actress?
Like a full-grown woman.
I'm saying, but she was a kid. I mean, I don't know any kid actors now. What do I watch? The Disney Channel? I do watch
Channel. You, if anyone here, are probably watching the most.
I don't know any kid actors. Would you call it like a Justin Bieber?
I'll tell you this.
Off topic. It's a topic we're staying away from, at least right now.
I was very excited because I found Wonder Years on Hulu. Let's call it the Kevin Arnold.
Trouble.
Big Paul Pfeiffer? Winnie Cooper.
Ooh, I like Winnie Cooper.
Give me a Winnie Cooper.
And it's just a Shirley Temple, but in 2024.
Winnie Cooper was relevant 40 years ago.
Yeah, but that's
more
our wheelhouse.
People would know Winnie Cooper than Shirley Temple.
He's not wrong.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Yeah, well.
How about Simone
put
Biles?
It on the pole.
How about a Simone Biles? She's short. So she.
I like it. Yes, that was relevant. We should change the name of the Shirley Temple to the Simone Biles.
It's like in her 20s.
Now, does Simone deserve her own beverage? Does she probably doesn't want a knockoff. She doesn't want to like adopt a beverage that already has a name.
Yeah. But all Shirley Temple is what? Sprite and cherry juice. Or
yeah, grenadine. Right? Do you get the maraschino cherries? Because if you don't get the maraschino cherries with the Shirley Temple, it's sort of a deal breaker, isn't it? That garnish is huge.
Yeah, but then you got to charge more because maraschino cherries aren't cheap.
Right? You probably also can't put them in a can without them turning into some like gelatinous goo.
Yeah.
I remember it being like a big deal. It was a Sprecher Root Beer or Shirley Temple when we went out in the 90s to like an Applebee's. That was when we were really living as kids.
Applebee's on a date night.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really love grenadine. I also don't love maraschino cherries. But my kids, when we go out to dinner, they will still do the thing where they say, can I have a Shirley Temple? Can I have a Shirley Temple? And because there is some level of novelty to it, I could see myself indulging in a 7-Up Shirley Temple.
Who's the achy, breaky heart?
Miley Cyrus.
There you go.
Also an adult.
A lot more people know Miley Cyrus than Shirley Temple, though.
But what part of the Shirley Temple estate is clinging to the bet? Right, like they're not just going to give it up. They're not just going to say, "Ah, yes, change the name. We're fine with it." The Shirley Temple beverage is a part of Shirley Temple's legacy, is it not?
I guess
you want to fight the Shirley Temple.
Is this what she liked to drink?
I have no idea. Maybe we should find out why it is called a Shirley Temple. Joshy?
I am working on it right now. Let me do some reading.
Yeah, I just need, it's got to be upgraded.
The story goes that while out to dinner with her parents and other Hollywood types, Temple was jealous that their cocktails were garnished with maraschino cherries. So the bartender made a non-alcoholic version.
Oh, all right.
You're just going to take that away from her.
Yeah, what the hell?
You're saying you do want to take it away or you've come around to say it should stay?
No, I think you need to change it.
Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Do you know who Shirley Temple is? Obviously inspires the beverage that has inspired the new product by 7-Up.
I put on there already. Who is more known today, Shirley Temple or Winnie Cooper? And Shirley Temple's crushing.
What? That's just because of the drink.
I think the drink has kept the Shirley
Temple.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're misplaying here.
Her estate is not going to give it up without a fight, is what I'm trying to tell you. You're going to have to give them some royalties in order to change the name.
She apparently was not a fan of the Shirley Temple as she grew into an adult because she was often served it as a joke and she did not find it funny.
Well, if you throw a little vodka in there.
Then it's
Dirty Shirley.
Is that what they call it?
You bet your bottom dollar.
Well, who was a bag from that era? Much like we do with Arnold Palmer and the John Daly.
Oh, who drank a lot? I mean, they all did. James Dean, Sinatra, all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of their whole thing.
Not a healthy liver among them. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on after this.